In Exodus 24, we read that the Lord said unto Moses, "Come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and a commandment which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." So that was the giving of the law. That was the proclamation that the Lord had made unto the children of Israel. And afterward, he gave that law, those Ten Commandments, on those two tables of stone. They were written by God's own finger, we read in God's word. And what task did the Lord now give unto Moses regarding those Ten Commandments? That thou mayest teach them. Now that word law and that word teach are the same words in the original. So this law, those Ten Commandments, which the Lord gave unto Moses, had to be taught. That was a law of instruction. And congregation, that is exactly what we have sung, have we not? Good and upright is Jehovah. In his dealings evermore, sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before. Are there now those sinners here tonight? Are there those sinners listening along in this evening who have to acknowledge good and upright is the Lord? And therefore it comes from him. Therefore he will teach sinners in the way. And a little later in 25, the same thing. Good and upright. Who is he? Who is the man that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Congregation, have we heard those words? Have we received such instruction? Has now that law of the Lord been experienced? As it was taught by God's Spirit in the heart. For we are all on the way to eternity. And one of us will be the first one. How soon, we cannot tell. But it could be even before the day is at an end, congregation. That is how solemn, how serious, and also how suddenly our end can come. And therefore it is necessary that the law be taught in our hearts by the Spirit of the Lord. Did not the Lord say to Moses that thou mayest teach them? And now this evening, that giving of the law is before us. And may then for the first time or by renewal, that law of the Lord God be taught unto us. May the Holy Spirit teach us, and then to our profit. We turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34, questions and answers 92 and 93. What is the law of God? God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then follows the law according to Exodus 20, which we heard this morning. And we also heard this evening according to Deuteronomy 5. How are these commandments divided into two tables? The first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor thus far. So what we have before us is the law of the Lord God. The law of the Lord God. First the giving of God's law, and then the division of God's law. We could also say God giving the law and God dividing the law. The first question then is, what is the law of God? And so begins Lord's Day 34. And that marks the beginning of a lengthy explanation of the Ten Commandments of the holy law of God, showing how that we all ought to live, because that must be in accordance to God's law. And that was pointed out already in a previous answer. Think of 90. The quickening of the new man is a sincere joy of heart through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. And those good works proceed from a true faith, are performed according to the law of God and to His glory. So you see that the catechism goes step by step. And it is understandable that that law of God is now explained in greater detail. For now it must come down to the practice in our life. And we saw already in Exodus 24 that that word law is the same as that word instruction, so it is a teaching of God's holy way. But in God's word, the word law often refers to the entire holy scriptures, the entire word of God, and that of course includes the Ten Commandments, oh yes. But it is much broader. The entire Bible is often called the law of the Lord. How does Psalm 1 begin? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand with sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scorners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. That is not only the Ten Commandments. That means the entire written revelation of God granted unto us. And so it is in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Read through Psalm 119, and there you find a multitude of words like truth and testimony and statutes and judgments and also law. And that all refers to that entire word of God. Sometimes in the scriptures the word law refers to the ceremonial laws, which were given by the Lord unto the people of Israel at Sinai, how they had to practice their outward worship, the tabernacle, the priests, the altars, the sacrifices, and so forth. And then there were also civil laws that told how that the people had to live in their society. But now this evening, we speak about the law as the Ten Commandments that were proclaimed by the Lord with that audible voice. Well, that mountain quaked. Oh, that was a sight, congregation, that could never be forgotten anymore. Elsewhere, these Ten Commandments are referred to as the Ten Words, We call that the moral law. And what do we now read here? What is the law of God? God spake all these words. He is the only lawgiver, says James, who is able to destroy and to save. He is the only one that is entitled, that has that authority, because he is the creator, the upholder, and then also the judge of all the earth. He has created everything for his own pleasure and honor, and therefore he can say how that we ought to live. In him we move, and in him we have our being. And without him we cannot do anything, and unto him we owe obedience. Now God is perfect. That means also his law is perfect. What man on earth could ever speak such a law, so rich, so full, so complete, so perfect, in so few words, and yet it is so clear, yet it is so much to the point. David says in Psalm 119, I have seen an end of all perfection, and yet thy commandment is exceeding broad. Have we learned something of that? That law of the Lord encompasses our everything in this life. All our thoughts, all our deeds, all our words, everything and every time, it is that law of the Lord that should direct us. And now that law of the Lord is given by God. It says unto the mediator by the hand of angels. We read elsewhere that he gave it unto Moses as the mediator of the Old Testament. And that was so given by God himself. God is perfect. God is eternal. And so that law of God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He changeth not. You think that his law shall change? You think that man's laws, yes, they change, and often not for the better. But the Lord has an eternal law that is unchangeable. And though we break it 1,000 times over, and none is exempt, yet that law of the Lord remains. Oh, and according to that same law, we shall be judged. But then God is also a spirit. That means the law of God is spiritual. And what are we? Carnal? We are carnal, sold under sin. Oh, then we are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Because we are rebellious now by nature. We have begun to break that law. We do not want to bow under God. We want to be king ourselves and sit upon the throne. We want to determine what we think is good and what we think is evil. And see, then we come to the keeping of that law. That is impossible. That is utterly impossible. And yet that is required of us. Because the Lord gave that law to each one of us. And so unto that giving of the law we must now turn, congregation. Because we read, what is the law of God? God spake all these words. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We call that the giving of the law. However, was that now the first time that his law was given? Oh, surely not. It was not the first time when the Lord spoke that law from Horeb that he made known what his will was. No. The Lord has his law already in all eternity. Psalm 40 proves that. Because the Lord Jesus in eternity said, I come to do thy will, O my God, thy law is written in my heart. But now, the man, mankind, when we were created, congregation, as soon as Adam was formed, then the Lord wrote in his heart his law. He made known what he required of Adam. He knew God's will. And he delighted to obey God's will. That was good. That was holy. That was a joy. That was a delight. That was the communion that he then had with God. But alas, there came the fall. For the serpent deceived Eve. And Eve ate of that fruit and took the fruit and gave it unto her husband Adam, and he did eat. And now the blame we should not point to Eve, and we should not give to the serpent. We are in Adam, and so each one of us is entirely guilty of that sin. And what did that now mean? We have broken the law of God. In Adam we have sinned and become transgressors from the womb. And now we have become sinners under the curse. Now the punishment is due upon us righteously. Now God is angry with the wicked every day. And he must righteously punish us. Now the question, have we learned that? Has the law of God been given in our heart experimentally? That shall be necessary, young and old. That means by the uncovering of the Holy Spirit, our sins are pointed out. Our guilt is written down. That is the handwriting of sin that is against us. It is what Belshazzar saw on the wall. Weighed in the balances and found wanting. Oh, we are wanting. We are too light. We must be cast away forever and forever. But have we now learned this? The catechism instructs us. Whence knowest thou our misery? Out of the law of God. You see, that is where the instructor begins rightly to teach about the demand of God's holy law. And when that is now experimentally true, then that law is given unto us. You know what that is? That is now that blowing of that north wind that we talked about this morning. And there is a people that say, Lord, that is now so needful time and again. Do not ever think that once you are past Lord's Day 2, that law in his holy demands never comes back anymore. Oh, no. No, that is not the case. Do you know why? Because there is an old and a new nature in God's people. And that old nature never wants to submit and only can sin. And that new nature desires to walk according to all the laws of God. But that law of God keeps demanding. We must love God and we must love our neighbor. But it is our miserable, corrupt heart. We are prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. And see, that has to be learned experimentally. And that the law then demands. And even though we have broken it, our congregation, then that law is still good. That law is not evil, but I am evil. When the Lord opens that up unto us, then it is, woe, I have sinned against the Lord. The crown is fallen from my head. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. Oh, the catechism deals faithfully with us regarding the holy law of God in that part of misery. And on our side, then it has to become a lost case. Then we are altogether guilty. You hear that publican then begging, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then you hear it in Leviticus, then we accept the punishment of our iniquity. We have nothing to bring in against the Lord anymore. Satisfaction is required. The law still demands. God's righteousness still must needs be satisfied. And we cannot pay. And that law says, pay what thou owest. And of 10,000 talents, we cannot pay a single penny. Oh, we may take to shedding rivers of tears, not enough. We may have a reformation, send up prayers, change our life and congregation in the work of grace that comes from a principle of love. Do not ever despise those things, but they cannot pay. They are not the ground that I can stand before God. I cannot in any wise satisfy God. I increase my debt daily, and it only becomes worse, and it becomes worse. I can try to find help from a godly person, but congregation, they cannot pay for me either. It is to no avail. You know what the Lord now is doing, and that is happening in that part of thankfulness, as the catechism so clearly describes. He drives that person to an end. He drives that sinner to the end of the law. And that law is broken. Oh, yes. But that does not mean that the demand is abolished. Oh, I cannot and I will not keep it. But that demand ever remains. And I have to be accountable unto God still. What do we then read in Romans 10? That Christ is the end of the law to him that believeth. You see where that sinner is brought. When it is impossible, then he makes a way. When there is no way, then he says, I am the way. When you have no truth anymore, then he says, I am the truth. When you have no life anymore, then he says, I have that life, and I am that life. Oh, congregation, then that sinner comes to an end, and what a blessed end that is. Because when I must die, then that life comes. Oh, that is a riddle for the soul. It is a paradox for all those that look at it, but we can never comprehend it. It is and remains a wonder, congregation. For what does the Lord now do with such a sinner? Oh, he begins to make room in his heart. There must come a place for that mediator. He hears about Jesus, that there is such a Savior, and they do not know him. And yet their heart longs for him. And yet they are drawn unto him. And they say, Lord, wilt thou teach me, guide me, and lead me? How did now those wise men come to Bethlehem's manger? By that star, that is by the Lord's working, by the Lord's word, he guides. Sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before shepherds. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there they go. when they have been revealed that the Savior is born from them, and then through the dark, and they come to that manger, and there they see him. John and Andrew were standing there listening to the preaching of the Baptist. And one day Jesus passed by, and they heard the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It went to their ears, and it did not go to their hearts. Yes, God's people know what that is. But the next day Jesus passed by again. What a wonder that he did not go away. No, he could not. Because there were two who had to be drawn unto him that they should follow him. Oh, would it not be a wonder tonight if the Savior passes by? And that he would open our ears not only, but that he would open our heart. And that such a sinner at the end would hear, "Behold the Lamb of God," and then they follow him. Oh, then they come unto him and they said, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" That was now the 10th hour that Savior was revealed in their heart. And that is now what the Heidelberg Catechism teaches about Jesus Christ. Is there no way that I may escape this well-deserved judgment and be again restored into favor? Who is then that mediator when one person is both very God and real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is given of God unto wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Oh, and is then the law of God abolished? No, surely not. No. That is not done away with. Because Christ does not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He keeps the law for that people. He has taken the punishment of that law for his people. And he also has obeyed that law perfectly, that he will have all that righteousness, and it shall be imputed unto those people. Oh, that is now that scriptural line. The law of God in that misery, but also that law of God. That is now in that part of deliverance, bringing to an end altogether. And then to receive that opening in Christ, to be united by faith unto him. And then when he says, "Oh, love God above all else, and thy neighbor as thyself," they say, "How love I thy law? It is my meditation all the day." Did not the Lord Jesus teach that now rightly unto that rich young ruler? It looked like as if he was a man without any blemish. He had kept all the commandments, yes, outwardly, and not with his heart. No understanding that this was now the spirituality of the law, because the law of God is spiritual. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And therefore our obedience of the law has to be spiritual. Oh, and then the Lord says, "One thing thou lackest." And what did he lack? That love. And love is now the keeping of the law. He loved himself above all else, and all the rest did not count anymore. And there is now your picture, and that is my picture by nature. But there is a people by grace that has received a delight. A delight in that law of God according to the inward man. And then the Holy Spirit teaches the broadness of that law, but also the spirituality of that law. And that is according to Romans 5. Because then the Lord works that love in the heart, and that love returns unto the Lord. And then that new man shall desire to keep that law of God. Oh, and then you come in that third part of thankfulness. Because what do we read in 92? What is now that law of God? God spake all these words. And listen now. if you know this experimentally, I am the Lord thy God, who hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Can you now testify? We will ask it differently. Can you not deny that you know something of that house of bondage? Being in Egypt, under those harsh taskmasters, they kept on beating and demanding more and demanding more. And you could not. It was hopeless. And then that groaning and that crying and that calling unto the Lord, save me ere I die. Lord, help us for we perish. There is a people groaning in misery, in need and in great trouble. And there is nothing that they can do anymore. You know what Reverend Vereniging said once? Then you have shackles on. Yes. He says, now make noise with those shackles that they shall be heard in heaven. Oh, are there now those prisoners here that cannot get out of that prison? And what does the Lord now do? Oh, in due time. Then he shall deliver them out of bondage. And whom did the Lord now use there in the case of Israel in Egypt? Moses. And that is now the mediator of the Old Testament. That was there in a type of the greater mediator, the greater Moses, who would come in the fullness of time and fulfill all the law and taking all the punishment. Oh, then the Lord is so good and gracious to take the people of his choice and of his love and deliver them out of that house of bondage, yes. And then he brings them through the Red Sea and he brings them to the Horeb. And then we come back to that giving of the law. The Lord dealt with Israel as he dealt with no other nation, giving them his judgments and his statutes. But now keep in mind that not all Israel was saved. Because there were many that perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. So what do we have portrayed there at the Sinai? The Lord came into covenant with that people. That was the outward administration of the covenant of grace. Great are those privileges, just like we have them. But what is necessary to be incorporated into that covenant of grace and reconciliation? And in the Old Testament, that was in an administration of ceremonies. And they have all passed away. And so now there is that new covenant. And that is for Jew and that is for Gentile. And then it is that work of Christ, that true conversion by the Spirit of God. Oh, then the law comes in my heart by renewal, with a desire to do all the Lord's commandments. You see, then you read it in Jeremiah 31, and you read it in Hebrews 9, that the Lord will write the law in the hearts of that people, and that happens now spiritually. Oh, then that law is always with you and always before you. And then God's children, oh, they receive a desire with all their shame and all their evil. That's true. But still they receive that desire deep in their heart to keep that law of the Lord. That is now in the way of true conversion, yes. And do you think they can keep that law of God's? There is not one that shall raise his hand. No. There is not one that shall say, I have to fly the flag tonight because I did everything right today. No. Not one second. Not one minute can we do it right, people. But there are those that have to say, Lord, wilt thou yet deliver? Wilt thou yet remember? Wilt thou yet pardon all thine mine iniquity? You know where the Lord brings his people down? He must increase and I must decrease. He brings His people in a place that they need the Lord continually. And you hear Him. Shall we sing it? 233.